It's Here and Now. I'm Jeremy Hobson, and let's get back to Robin Young in Raleigh, North Carolina, another person I don't think is going to be going to the Super Bowl. Right, Robin? You don't have tickets?
What? This is news. I'm shocked.
No, well, where are you, by the way?
But you know what? I'd rather go to some basketball, and I'm in the best place for it. I'm at the North Carolina Museum of Natural Sciences here in Raleigh, North Carolina, in the WUNC Satellite Studios. It is freezing here, but one thing that is always hot in North Carolina, college basketball.
It's a 12-2 Blue Devil run, and Miami just can't score. Another takeaway.
ESPN on the call last night as the Duke Blue Devils from Durham pounded Miami 67-46. Now, the hometown team here in Raleigh is North Carolina State. They play host to Georgia Tech on Sunday over in Chapel Hill. The University of North Carolina Tar Heels face South Carolina's Clemson, which has not beat UNC since the Paleozoic era. I think it's there's something like 0-56, although they say that might change this weekend. But right now, UNC is preoccupied with something else as well. We want to take a look at education. UNC is in the midst of an athlete scandal. Bogus courses for athletes, and now an advisor claiming athletes are functionally illiterate. Then over in the public schools, there was a federal complaint filed this week here in Wake County against the school system and local police departments, parents and teachers claiming police are criminalizing minor behavior like stealing paper from recycling bin. This is a claim that is that there's a school-to-prison pipeline. We've reported on that. And there are also debates in North Carolina over charter schools and teacher salaries, which is why Dave DeWitt is a busy guy. He covers education for WUNC. He joins us at their studio at the Museum of Natural Sciences. Dave, start with this scandal at UNC and then this federal complaint from the public schools. Tell us about both. How are they reverberating?
Well, the scandal at UNC is sort of the latest chapter in a long, sordid tale. It began years ago, seemingly, when some football players were deemed to have taken some things from agents, some money and some flights and things. And in the course of investigating all of that, they came through and figured out that there were some no-show bogus classes in one of the academic departments that enrolled about half of the students that were enrolled in those classes were student-athletes. Mm-hmm. So there were some charges that these student-athletes were steered into these classes because they were obviously easy. There were no-show classes. Some grades were changed. The department chair ended up losing his job. And now the latest chapter in that is that someone has come forward, a former tutor who still works at the university named Mary Willingham, has charged that some of the students she worked with, a decent percentage, student-athletes, were functionally illiterate, should never have been admitted into the university, mm-hmm. had really no chance at earning a degree, and were only there because they were basketball players or football players. UNC has come back and vehemently denied this. They say that Mary Willingham's research, which she uses to back up some of these claims, is flawed, and they've removed her research capabilities now. So it's really a standoff between this one tutor who still works at the university but no longer works with student athletes and the university who claims that these students were not nearly as bad as students as she says they were.
Yeah, well, it's still, I mean, if the bogus courses, this is a claim that's throughout the country that there are student athletes pushing the system, but courses that don't really even exist. That's something. Now go over to Wake County, though, to the schools and this charge that, and we hear this in other schools as well, that schools are increasingly using police to do what schools used to do in disciplining kids.
Well, you know, because of what's happened recently across the country, we're seeing more police and more security officers on high school campuses. And what's happened in Wake County, according to this complaint filed by some civil rights groups here in the area, is they're saying that students are being arrested in misdemeanor charges that often don't end up panning out into actual cases for things. And you mentioned the recycling bin, mm-hmm. taking paper out of the recycling bin. There was a well-known water balloon fight at a local high school here where a lot of students were arrested on these misdemeanor charges. And this civil rights group points out that 75% of the students who are arrested on these misdemeanor charges are African American. Here in Wake County, about 25% of the student body is African American. They're saying that is wrong. Mm-hmm. They want the federal government to look into this case, so they filed this federal rights complaint.
Okay, so you got two stories there, but overarching. Talk about teachers, because people who watch education policy say North Carolina made more changes that affect schools than any other state in the country last year. Give us a little overview. Let's talk teachers.
Well, what happened about a year ago, the state elected a Republican governor, and the Republican legislature, which had been in place for a couple of years, had a majority, but they could never get anything past the Democratic governor, who vetoed a lot of their school changes they wanted to make. Well, now when the entire state went Republican, they had an opportunity to make some real significant changes, and they really did. As you mentioned, policy watchers from across the country have said more education change has come in 1 year in North Carolina than anywhere else.
Ending teacher tenure, ending extra pay for teachers who earn master's degrees.
Yeah, cutting funding for teacher assistants, instituting a voucher program, really a wide slate of things. Many of these affect teachers directly. Teachers have only had one raise here in the last 5 years. North Carolina teacher salaries used to be in the middle of the pack, used to be about the national average. Now they're 46th in the country. Much higher salaries are offered by our neighbors, Virginia and South Carolina. So teachers are reacting to all of these things, the loss of teacher tenure and other things. And they're marching here in the state capitol. They're holding walk-ins in front of their schools. They're quite angry.
Well, your governor, Pat Rigori, says he understands this, that there hasn't been a raise in 5 or 6 years. It's unacceptable. He's saying this now, and he's saying he's going to get teacher raises done this year, but you've got a legislature that doesn't seem inclined to do that.
That's right. The state Senate is led by a man named Phil Berger, who's been there for about a decade and a half, but has just recently, with the Republican resurgence, taken over the legislature and the state Senate, and he's the most powerful force in education change in North Carolina. He hasn't seen fit to really include the governor in a whole lot of things to this point. This is his education agenda. He says he's really interested in returning some control back to the local school districts. Here in North Carolina, as in many southern states, the state really controls a lot of education policy. Individual districts don't have a lot of things to – they can add supplement salary to teachers, but they don't set the salary structure for their teachers. So that means that the state has a lot of control. Phil Berger is the person who's done a lot of these things, and they have veto-proof majorities in both of the legislature. So what happens is, even if Governor McCrory wants to do some things differently, oftentimes he's being left out of the loop.
Yeah. Well, boy, there's so many other things to talk about. Some of your listeners want us to talk about charter schools. Guess what? We'll have to have you come back to do that. We'll do that. Dave DeWitt, he covers education for WUNC. By the way, tweets at Dave DeWitt. Dave, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
And we couldn't resist. Let's have a little of Peter Holsapple and Chris Stamey, founders of the North Carolina-based group, the DBs, their song, Here and Now, on the record of the same name. It's Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.